from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sort of maybe, you know, if my first 100 days, I'm spending quite a bit of time with Penny, you know, getting to know him, getting to sort of know what his 2 to 3 year plan is, as opposed to just this, hey, let's get back to the tournament 1 year.
Yep.
What's the next 2 to 3 years look like, Penny?
Yeah.
I think that would be high on my list.
I think that's a great call out. I do. I think, you know, fostering and building that relationship with Penny.
Build that relationship.
And also, I think getting it to a place, if it's possible, getting it to a place where there's collaboration.
100%.
Right? Like where there's, hey, I might be able to help you in certain areas, and I want to do that, right? I want to give you the resources that you need,
yeah.
But also there might be some things that I notice and observe, because let's just call it what it is, and this is important. Penny in the last administration just did not have a working relationship. Not that it was like anti, but it was just like there was none of that, right? It wasn't like Laird was dropping in and giving suggestions, and not that that's necessarily the job of the AD, but it is still your prize, right? I know football is important.
Well, let's be real, too, on that one. The president hired Penny.
Right.
So how does an AD then come in,
right,
and Penny is answering to that AD,
sure,
as opposed to that president,
well, I don't even,
who is now gone?
Yeah.
Because he did, John.
Yes.
He absolutely.
No, agreed.
Dr. Rudd hired Penny.
Agreed.
So how does Laird Veach come in with any kind of control, or
right,
other than what you want, Penny? What can I do? Right? When that was the president's hire. In that case, Penny is reporting to the guy that's above you.
Yes.
Which can be a little bit different now.
No doubt.
With Rudd out.
Yes, exactly. And it wasn't even like answering to. It was just like there was just nothing there.
Nothing
right?
there.
Like, and so I think, like,
yeah,
you know, when you come at it from a standpoint of, all right, blank slate, fresh start, you're the hire. Penny was there at the introduction. You know, they got a chance to, you know, chop it up. You know, just a more collaborative, you know, working in conjunction kind of relationship where, again, you know, Penny might, not saying will, but might be receptive to, you know, some suggestions or recommendations. Because here's the truth. I mean.
Well, the ceiling's highest with Penny. I mean, that's the thing. And
it is.
I'm sure it's got realized.
It is.
That. And so that's why you want to help.
It is. And the biggest thing and the biggest area where Penny can be helped is the turnover, right? Staff perspective, roster perspective. Now, maybe Ed Scott can't help with the roster part of that, but maybe he can help him with identifying good candidates, Penny trusts,
yeah,
where we're not having to turn this thing on. I mean, because the whole thing's been flipped. I mean, Nick Jourdain and Rick Stansberry are the only people that are returning in their same roles from a year ago.
I mean, that's my whole thing is, if you got Rick Stansberry, I'm with you that the turnover with your staff is not, and it's not a good thing. Turnover with the roster, really not a good thing. But if he's keeping Stansberry as the, and I don't know, who knows how much longer, but we've talked about it, how much do those other two assistants, right, and coaching relationships and recruiting relationships, they don't matter as much now as who's got the NIL. And so I don't know. I as long as he's keeping Stansberry, I'm not as concerned about that. But I'm with you. Whether it's that or you know, ties in the ACC, more scheduling,
right?
You know, ties when it comes to ACC teams, we've seen those help Memphis here, Clemson and Virginia, obviously last season. I mean, there are certainly ways and other ways that Ed Scott can help Penny.
But, exactly.
Penny has benefited, let's be real. Like keeping Rick in the fold has been a big part of why they've been able to hit the portal the way they have.
No doubt.
So that's the one consistent on that staff that they've benefited from.
Yes, exactly.
Although,
right.
How much longer do you keep that going? You know, Rick's going to want to be a head coach here pretty soon.
Yeah, I don't think it lasts.
This is for Noah.
My guess is, yeah, exactly.
This is for Noah to finish
up. So when that's over, I think that's probably over.
And then we got issues again.
Yes,
I'm with you.
So again, you know, I know Ed Scott's not necessarily a basketball guy, but he may have some things to add and to offer. And I think I agree with you. I think the biggest thing, and maybe I won't say the only thing, but like.
I just want to get out ahead of it.
Number one. Is make sure you're in a really good place with Penny.
Yeah.
And then sort of go from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
What's Penny's next 2 to 3 year? Yeah, what's the 2 to 3 year plan?
Exactly.
That's what I want to know.
And get on an understanding, right? Get on a very, same understanding of, hey, this is what needs to happen. This is what has to happen. This is what we expect. That way there's no hurt feelings. There's no, you know, and it'll help Penny sort of, okay, this is what, you know, again, I know he's not going to answer to Ed Scott. I get that. I'm not asking him to do that. But a more collaborative really? Yes. He ain't answering Ed Scott.
I'm just saying, Hargrave can help his AD here if he steps out. Don't give Penny that door all the time to where he can go around and straight up to the president.
Work with
That's
your AD.
That's what made the dynamic with Veach and everything so tough. It really, you undermine your AD when you do that.
Yeah.
When your basketball coach is reporting first to the president's office, you mess up the chain of command. And so try to help Ed Scott in just the sense that, no, you're not cutting off communication with Penny as the president. Especially, I mean, Penny calls you, you're going to answer. But leave more of that to Ed Scott, to your AD. In terms of, oh, you got a problem? Go work it out with Ed as opposed to working out with your president. That's what Penny's always had, and that's what needs to be shored up here. You know, the chain of command, quite frankly.
Yeah.
That's how you get more accountability, more folks on the same page, dude. Let your athletic director be athletic director and be able to come to these coaches, Penny, and, you know, the main one we're talking about here, and say, look, I'm your boss, man. What's the 2 to 3 year plan? As opposed to, man, you know, I go around you.
Exactly. No, I think that's...
So hard, you know, it'd help if Bill's a part of that by not having that door so wide open.
Exactly. Anyway... there you have it. Ed Scott, first day on the job, and I'm in total agreement. You know, the rest of it is sort of self-sustaining at this point. It's basketball that sort of has to, you know, be the focus.
This is the one where you could see a potential, you know,
exactly
issue coming down the pike.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's what you got to get in front of, like you said. All right, we'll come back with the rundown. Ja Morant inducted into a Hall of Fame, first of many, I would guess. Quarterbacks getting paid out here in the NFL. Got preseason on Thursday. Lots more to come. Stick around.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Jason and John, I just heard a fam, yes. It's time we do the rundown. Let's get it.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Brad, pull up this. It just came to me. And this is going to apply to Jason indirectly. But it was Friday night, and J Love just got paid. That's that NSYNC paid. Pull that up for Jason. Let him celebrate yet another 4 years of J-Love in the NFC North. He officially does become – it's all confusing the way, like, these agents manipulate this stuff, bro. Like, somewhere, somehow – is this it? NSYNC paid?
This is the Johnny Kemp version.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll settle for
this. I think it's the old school original, is it not?
Yes, it is.
A little better than that.
But he got paid on Friday night, becomes a quote-unquote...
Oh, that's a good song.
...quote-unquote. I think they sampled this, yeah.
NSYNC stole it.
Highest paid quarterback in the history of the NFL. Although his AAVE, which is what everybody gets, you know, their rocks off about, is still tied for Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow, 55 M's annually. So he's still tied with those two. Tua also got paid. Comes in slightly under that, $53.1 million a year, I believe. I was listening to ESPN Radio yesterday, and a caller called in and said, "Bet not ever see Tua underthrow Tyreek at $53 million a year. I bet not see one underthrow."
You'll see plenty of it.
You're going to see plenty. Like, that's the thing. You're going to see plenty. But, you know, that's the thing. You have, in theory, a QB. Again, a Tua is not a great option, but you can sort of talk yourself into Tua. That's all you ever want to do in the NFL as a fan or as an organization. Talk yourself into guys at QB, right? The Bears tried to do that with Jay Fields. It didn't work. Then they drafted Caleb Williams, who they are currently obviously doing that with. Green Bay did that with Jay Love. At 9 games, got him $55 million a year over the next 4 years. The Raiders can't do that with Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew. You ain't talking yourself into that. That's a mess. So if you don't have that guy, you're lost. You're in the wilderness. You lost in the sauce, brother. Jordan Love does become the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this as a Bears fan, because this is where I think there's a little bit of a disconnect. You don't fear Jordan Love.
Oh, no, I mean, not yet.
You don't fear him the way you fear
him. I fear him in the sense that I know Green Bay is always going to have a quarterback, and that's more, you know, sort of rooted in just Bears being beat down over the years by Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. And that, you know, surely, yeah, you know, we've said it, law of averages, their next quarterback has to be bad. Doesn't look like it. And Jordan Love, obviously, last year in the playoffs, goes 1-1 with the youngest team, I think, in the playoffs. And it's all very impressive, and that's, you know, that's coming off of his first full year as a starter. He throws for 4,100 yards. What's not to be impressed by?
Right.
But in terms of fearing him, no. He'll have to beat us down many more a time. In the same way that you do Favre and Rodgers, no. It's not close there yet. Let's keep in mind, we're talking about a guy that's 10-10. If you count the 1-1 record in the playoffs last year, he's 10-10 as a starter.
Yeah.
10-10.
Yeah, no,
and now he's the highest paid in the NFL off 20 games as a starter. 10-10.
Yep.
You know, and I realized, you know, 9-8 last year in the regular season, you're judged by playoffs, and he won a playoff game.
Yep.
Who was it, Dallas, that you have to thank for that? Dysfunctional Dallas that you have to thank for that, essentially?
Yeah.
There's still question marks.
Yeah, that defense.
There are question marks on how good Jordan Love can be, but clearly he was good enough for it to be his time, and he capitalized. See, I mean, what I can't hate on is that he's up, and this is the way of the NFL. When you are believed in, then you will become, for that year, the highest paid in the league. That's just what it is, and right now it's his turn. And he's doing it all. You have to go back and look off a 9-8 season where they surprise in the playoffs.
Yep, agree with that.
He becomes the highest paid.
Now, some people will say
those other guys that are up there have done more.
They started 2-5. They started 2-5.
Sure.
Which I agree. You can't just disregard that 2-5 start.
Well, he was part of it.
And
early.
Just say now, you know 7-3 the rest of the way. Like you can't. You know, you have to sort of, I think, weigh everything equally. You know, you can't just weigh the good stuff more than you weigh the bad stuff just because it was – because let me ask you this. Obviously, we know – I'm reading this book.
I mean, 32-11 is impressive.
I'm reading this book. I can read, unlike Tyler Kolek. I can read, okay? Tyler Kolek can't read. Look it up.
Stop.
He can't read.
There's no way he can't read.
Like that's a fact?
No, that was like
– and we shouldn't make fun
of the Providence fans started this rumor that Tyler Kolek couldn't read, and the damn Marquette –
okay.
Deputy athletic director came out and said that he can read.
Oh, they had to have a statement on it?
Yeah, it's funny. It was good.
But
I'm reading this book by Annie Duke, a former poker player. It's called Thinking
In... Oh, she's smart.
Yeah, Thinking in Bets. And so what the premise and the thesis of the book is that our brains are wired only to consider the result. That... if you think about the best decision that you made this year, right, you're going to say, well, it's based on the result. Whatever the best result in your year was, that was the best decision that you made.
Mm-hmm.
The worst decision of your year, you're going to say, was the worst result. Our brains are programmed to only consider not the process, right, not the things that went into the result. We only consider when we're rating the quality of whatever it is by the end. We don't ever weigh or consider what steps we took. Were they good steps? You might have had a great process that unfortunately ended in a bad result.
That's problematic.
That doesn't necessarily mean that it was a bad decision. It just means that it was a bad result. And so what Annie's premise is we can't separate the two. Right? And so as it relates to Jordan Love, I'm going to bring this up. What if he doesn't win that playoff game,
mm-hmm.
right?
Then exactly. You think it's – well, yeah. We used to talk about DeAnthony Melton like this.
Yeah, like what if in fact – let me just posit this. What if he started 7-3 but finished 2-5,
yep.
right? And then they lose a playoff game. I mean,
that's where Dax's rep comes from.
It's in the realm of possibility, right? So she brings up the Pete Carroll play, right?
Yep.
She brings up the infamous Pete Carroll.
What happened?
He threw, you know, even though the fact that 60 passes had been thrown from the 1-yard line that season and none had been intercepted, right?
Yep.
The fact that if the play had worked, you know, we would have completely been talking about something different, you know, and that we just focus on, which again, that's the world we live in, right? Results are, at the end of the day, what you get paid for, it's what matters. And Jordan Love got the results. But if he doesn't, if that score is 48-32, Dallas, and he has, let's just flip he and Dak's stat line. He goes 41 of 60, 400 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. Like, is he the highest paid quarterback in the NFL today? I don't know.
He still gets paid, but he's not tied
right.
with Burrow. And
he gets paid because you know he's shown enough, right? He showed enough. But again, it's like Memphis basketball. What if they started 8-9 or whatever, you know, 7-8, but then they finished 15-2. You know, it's all kind of about how you look at it and the details that went into the result. But I do think Jordan Love is a good quarterback. I do think, you know, whether he deserves to be, I don't know, but I do think he is a good quarterback who is worth building around. Tua feels like a necessary evil because you don't have a better option. That's kind of where I'm at with him. I think we saw what happens when you put him in an unfavorable. He's a little like Derek Carr to me. Like you put him outside of where he's comfortable, and mm-hmm. you can absolutely rattle him. He ain't the same. right outside of Miami. So if they get home field advantage, they'd be a problem. You know, they ain't got the defense for that, most likely. So anyway, now that I've sort of, you know, opened this entire new perspective in terms of results-oriented, how do you reflect on the rest of your life?
Again, what you've said essentially is just finished strong. You're rewarded for that in this society, in this NFL, whatever it is, it's finished strong. You're right. You could flip it, and what happens if he has the bad finish? It's different. What it tells you is forget the slow start, finish strong, you'll get what you want because our brains
that's
and everything
what we
else focus
value.
On
but
that.
Let me ask you this, though.
You coming down the stretch strong. That's
right.
What we focus on. And again, you're being paid for this is a contract for future performance.
Right.
And we're basing it on the strong finish, the 1-1 record in the playoffs.
Exactly. But let me put it to you like this. Caleb Williams drafted number one overall. He has all the achievements, all the accolades. You guys have a quarterback need, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that Caleb Williams just, I'm not saying he will, but let's just say he sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say he's a complete bust. He's more interested in getting manicures and painting his nails than he is throwing touchdowns, right? Mm-hmm. Does that mean that drafting Caleb Williams at number one was a bad or even wrong decision?
Yeah, when you had Jaden Daniels sitting there, if Jaden Daniels is a good one, you should have figured all that. That comes down to motivation and everything else. You needed to figure that out in the interviews.
But
to figure it out with the people that you talk to.
What if all the information that was available still pointed to Caleb, though? You know what I'm saying? Like, what if even
no,
though...
No, because in the end, if C.J. Stroud is a better quarterback than Bryce Young, then Carolina will be blamed for not taking C.J. Stroud and seeing that he was the right...
And you can
boil it down to this because we know situation matters.
Right.
And you could even throw in that C.J. Stroud was a better fit, better coaching, whatever else, and that Bryce didn't have all that. He didn't have all that
correct.
With Carolina. In fact, it was a bad situation that we saw.
The coach got fired.
The coach got fired. Everything's been switched out. And that is all relevant and true, but in the end, all that will matter is that Carolina didn't take C.J. Stroud.
Okay.
If it goes the way it's going right now.
But that is what...
And they will be blamed for that.
That is what Andy Duke calls hindsight bias. That we have a bias to... We already know the outcome, so therefore we...
Well, it wasn't just 100% to zero to take... Bryce, there were some of the few and far between, but there were some that saying C.J. Stroud was a better quarterback,
right.
Including Lewis Riddick, who I don't think is doing the hindsight thing. He was the guy who said take C.J.
Well, if you
Stroud.
Said it before, then you know you certainly...
There are some out there that did. I wouldn't say it's many, but it wasn't 100-0.
Well, I just feel like Caleb is just... you.
And remember everything you said about Stroud and what we saw against in the Georgia game where we saw him run against
a lot of people.
We both did. We fell in love right there, but I'm just saying there were signs right there.
No, that's true.
He should be, and there were no concerns about the body and the durability
that
like there were for Bryce.
That is true.
I mean, you could make the point that Carolina just went with the way the river was flowing. Everybody's saying Bryce, but that the real pick was CJ.
Sometimes
there were a
lot
of reasons.
Sometimes people do. Remember CJ's testing, too.
I think a lot of people
thought. The Wonderlic, yes.
Was it the Wonderlic or whatever the new test is?
I thought
it had a new name, but either way, that hurt him as well. And, everybody said, well, take Bryce. He's the,
he's the sure thing.
Generational passer, sure thing, did great on the test.
Right.
But some were saying take CJ.
So I don't know. Listen, I think I'm going to give you this book after I'm done with it so you can read it and familiarize yourself.
It tells me just finish strong because we have recency bias and we focus on success.
I think it's also like don't be so hard on a decision even if you don't get the desired results. Because sometimes that decision was the right one even if you don't get the desired result. I'm not saying always. Sometimes bad decisions are just bad decisions, right? Like like Hashim Thabeet was a bad decision and a bad result. Mm-hmm. You could have both, right? But sometimes there are.
Well, you're saying Zion was that for the Pelicans?
Absolutely, absolutely. He was a good decision that's unfortunately yielded underwhelming results.
Yeah, anybody that had the number one pick would have took Zion.
Absolutely right.
That was 100-0.
Yes.
Nobody was saying take
Ja 1. You can't take Ja. Exactly right.
No one was saying take Ja 1. So Zion is that. It's unfortunate.
Yes.
It was the right decision.
Correct decision.
Yeah. It was.
You have to make that
that's
your correct
decision.
That's
where you can't apply the hindsight.
That is exactly right.
That goes with what you're saying.
Right, right. It's just an interesting way to think about, just the decisions that we make in our everyday lives that we are so, and especially in sports, right, where sports is one of the few realms in life where we have that result. We get it. It is undisputed black and white. There is a winner and there is a loser.
Well, here's a good example.
In soccer.
We don't talk a lot about baseball. I watch a lot of baseball. You have a closer. What do? And you're up 3-2 in the World Series in Game 7. You put the closer in the ninth inning. What if he blows it?
It's still the right decision.
Exactly right.
To your point.
Exactly right.
Baseball is an analytics-driven sport, not like no other where this applies all the time.
I wish life was more like sports in that way. You know, because oftentimes we make choices as partners, as parents, where we don't really know if that was the right choice or not. Like, we have to sort of, it's up to us to figure that out. You know, we don't get a box score to look at.
I think you make things the right choice sometimes in life, though. You have to ebb and flow with yourself and give yourself grace based on making the best decision you could possibly make.
Agree. I just think it's just harder to ground yourself in that way because, you know, we all make a million decisions a day, right? We all make a million of those, and I don't get to go on John Martin's ESPN.com splash and see, oh, well, we lost that one 42-0, you know? Like, I have to sort of figure that out myself, you know? So it's just an interesting way. Like, I'm on this self-help kick, man. I've given up alcohol for, you know, 50 days until football season. I'm on day 13 or 14.
Congrats.
Well done, man.
I'm tracking some calories. I'm just trying to do more of a holistic, you know, reset, you know, and
was that butt getting a little big on you?
It was, you know, and we can acknowledge that, you know. It's not hard. I tell you what, it's not hard. You look up, you got two kids, you don't even care anymore. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah.
So you take that time, you improve your life. I'm reading books now. I had not read a book in a long time, you know. So
been a minute for me.
I want you to read some books. I want you to read some books. I can send you a few.
I got to get my trifocals first.
Yeah. I'll try to start. What's the last book you actually remember reading?
I can't. It's been a
minute. Where the Red Fern Grows.
It's been a minute. I sat down to read Harry's book and didn't finish it. My wife's got it. Asked me, said I should read it.
Oh, The Prince.
Yes.
Gotcha.
I don't know, man. It's been a couple of years. It's been that long.
It's actually so good for the soul to read. To just, and it's not so much about the reading. It's like,
I've forgotten that.
I'm just transporting myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm removing myself from the world. Matrix. Uh-huh. Right? That I can tell you're clearly caught up in. You're in the Matrix.
Yeah, maybe it's something about having kids. I need to. So my wife's still a heavy reader.
Yes,
but I have drifted away.
You got to get back, even if it's nonfiction. Right? It's just like, let me take this time to just. I just don't exist for an hour.
Well, that's why book clubs are still good.
I don't need the club.
They keep you in the habit of it. No, you'll fall out. Like, if you're just by yourself, you'll fall out. But if you've got friends doing it with you, it's more incentive to remain a heavy reader.
Yeah.
What? Most of my reading is done now online. You're right. Yeah. I mean, I just,
exactly.
You know.
But it's not the same.
I get up in the morning.
It's not the same.
It's all online. No, it's not. You're not transporting
yourself personal.
To this place.
You know, you're not turning pages.
Oh, no, you're right.
What's the best?
I've lost the ability to read.
Take yourself to
sit down and give myself that time.
Because your mind's racing. Your mind's just racing all throughout the day. You can't help but think about the Hall of Fame
game
on Thursday.
YouTube shorts and your next 100%. Thing and the parent stuff and all that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. What's the best decision you made in the past calendar year? What is it?
I have no idea. I mean, that's...
See, that's the problem. That's the problem.
The best decision?
Yeah, what's the best decision that you made?
No idea. Maybe to go to New York, take Chris to New York. I don't know.
Okay.
I know it was rewarding for him. It's something he.
There you go. That's a good answer.
He remember.
That's a good answer.
Like, for life.
Yeah.
And he got to do some things he'll remember.
Did it? Did it double as the worst decision?
It wasn't my decision. My wife said we're going to New York though. So you know.
Oh, okay. So your wife. It was really your wife's best decision.
Yeah, taken along.
Okay.
For the ride.
What was yours, John?
Yeah, you must have one that stands out. The way you're looking at me as if I should know.
I would say
mine.
Giving up alcohol.
But you've done it for 15 days.
Yeah, but I've already
that rewarding 15 days. Then
absolutely.
You should stay off of it. Then
absolutely.
If it's been that rewarding for you, in two
I like
weeks,
John absolutely. Without booze.
Imagine a whole year of it.
This could be good.
Yeah, I mean, I'll drink again. Not you know, it's not like something I'm going to like give up for my whole life.
Okay.
But I needed a healthier relationship. You know, I just did. I needed a healthier relationship with it, and you know, I needed to get to a place where it wasn't something I had to have every time I did. Like, you know, I wasn't an alcoholic by any stretch of the imagination, but it's just like you just sort of associate, your brain starts to associate, oh, if I'm going to this function, I need a beer, right? If I'm going to this function, I need a beer. If I'm going out to eat, I need a beer. Like, it's just like I need a beer because I'm just so used to it, you know? So I had to sort of get out of that and just get to a healthier place with it.
Understood.
So that's, I feel good about it. I feel,
good.
You know, mentally.
Oh, and you're reading.
You know?
Again.
Yeah, so this has been a good 2 weeks. I don't miss anything. I'm you know, full steam ahead. Now I'm not gonna give up betting. That's never gonna happen.
Sober John reading by the fireplace.
That's right.
Maybe he'll Calkins will make you the guest reader this year.
He'll never let me do that
for his Christmas.
He's actually not reading. He's going over this week's NFL lines.
that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's a line book.
That's right. Yeah. But he didn't even have it last year.
Well, I was talking about you.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, there's no opportunity anymore because I think the party's been discontinued.
I was going to say.
Did something happen?
I asked about it Friday. He didn't.
I always looked forward to it.
I can't remember if something happened or not.
Did somebody get bit by his dog?
Well, that's another consideration, right? I mean, the dog is a vicious killer.
Yeah.
You don't want to have people over there.
He asked if I'm still on Facebook.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, on Friday.
He asked if you were on Facebook because for what?
He didn't see
you. I can't remember how it came up, but he asked. I said, yeah, I'm still there.
You're Meta all the way.
Right. Yeah, I am. I'm down with Meta. But I figured it was related to the Christmas party stuff that maybe after you don't attend a couple, after you got an invite, you get discontinued. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there was no, though.
And I feel bad about that.
Yeah.
Don't feel bad. There was no.
Well, I hadn't gone to the last time when there had been, though. I hadn't gone. He had invited me a couple times.
Yeah, it's tough to get you to
events. And you're like that, too. Both of you guys are the same way. It's like you come from the same family. If you don't come to something John has invited you to, unfriended.
That's it.
You don't care.
Exactly right.
It's not so much that you might have something to do or whatever else. It's that you didn't take the time.
That's right. I wasn't important enough to you.
That's the way you take it.
That's the way it is. That's the way it is.
Apparently, Jeff has some of that in him.
Because here's the truth.
You learned it from
people.
Jeff.
Have a lot going on,
but here's the truth: if he wanted to, he would.
But
that is the truth.
I thought you've realized though, as you've had kids now.
Oh no! If you've gotten to
a different stage in your life, that folks be having stuff going on.
They do,
and sometimes they're so tired from the stuff that they had going on.
They do
that. They need a rest period, and a lot of times that rest period will fall right on the stuff that you know you're trying to throw.
Yes.
You understand? Folks got a lot going on. Nobody knows that better than you.
It's true. We went to the zoo on Saturday, and I was dead. I was more tired than I've been in years.
That was me in New York.
Like, I couldn't.
Just chasing one around.
Yeah, I could not.
You're chasing two.
Could not even consider, you know, if there had been like a nightcap, we had to go here, there.
Can't do it.
No way.
Drain.
Not happening. Yep. So right. I do respect that. But if he wanted to, he would. That applies to romantic relationships, and it applies to friendships. Even a cameo, hey, I made it. I want you to know I care. I'm not asking for a commitment of 3 hours, but just I'm here. I showed up. It's good to see you, man. Happy birthday, XYZ. You know, something like that. That's all. You know, and I think that's the same expectation on the other side. I hope. You know what I mean?
We're different since COVID.
Yeah.
We don't, you know.
You don't go out.
We don't attend everything.
Yeah, or anything.
Just can't attend everything.
Well, I think what we need to do is we need to make a list of things that you will attend because the list is getting shorter and shorter in 2024.
Yeah.
We're not doing Calkins Christmas party. What else?
No, I want to go to the next one. You've said they've been canceled.
Okay. All right, well, I'll make sure. Jeff just text me, so I'll make sure we get that back on the docket.
So he can send me that friend request again.
That's right.
It's like the most wholesome event of the year.
It is.
It is.
It's a great party because it's like it was his family that wrote these stories.
Oh, they're beautiful.
He's reading from, you know, and he picks everybody except me. You know, he picked somebody over Zoom that wasn't even at the party to read over me. What is wrong with this guy?
He's like George Plimpton. Do you remember him?
I don't
that
remember
sounds
George.
Kind of familiar.
What is George Plimpton?
He was didn't George Plimpton do a something theater where he came on and started reading to you or talking? Y'all don't remember George? Y'all have no culture, man.
Oh, yeah. I know George Plimpton. Yeah.
Yeah, George Plimpton, man.
Yes.
Used to do the theater shorts mm-hmm. or whatever else. And that's how Jeff is when he gets with the book and the fireplace.
Jeff is in his absolute, he is in his deepest bag at that. I mean, I'm telling
you. Nobody tells a story like Calkins.
That is like
it's
the
butter.
Abyss.
It's just absolute syrup. It's
is
so
how
good.
Deep his
I mean,
bag is.
He does
is.
It from 9 to 11 every day.
It's awesome.
Oh, no. Yeah.
He reads to us.
But this is amplified. This is like, you got the scenery, you got the whole, you got the...
It's like going to a Billy Joel concert.
Well, there's usually important people there, too.
There is.
Jeff reading to you is like Billy on the piano.
It is. And I'll say this, like, as an adult, obviously the magic of Christmas, you lose a little bit, right? Calkins' Christmas party is the closest you'll get to recapturing it.
Yeah.
I swear, because he has like the whole thing. He's got the whole, you know, it's like the fire's going.
Well, it's magic.
And he's got everybody's dressed up like Christmas.
Yeah. They should have had him at the opening ceremony of reading about Dionysus. And there would have been a lot less confusion if he would
have kept it a little more wholesome.
Read the story to us mm-hmm. at the opening ceremony.
And here comes Calkins with that big ass red book,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he's like, wait a minute.
In the middle of the noir scene. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Page one.
Dionysus, read it.
Then this huge oversized book.
He should have had Dionysus read it. You know,
lick his finger and turn the page.
And then you have the, you know.
It is magical.
The drag queen would have read the second chapter.
She'd have stopped.
He would have walked around. He would have gone around the table. And that would have basically cleansed the entire ceremony at that point. But yes, anyway, that's the beauty of the Jason and John show, that we can start.
This was about Jordan Love.
Yeah, but you know what? It was tied in, though, because it's results.
This went too far.
No, we brought in reading is where we went with that.
This is what happens when you talk about reading, right? It's a results-based decision by the Green Bay organization that I think is still a good one, but I do think there is a chance for some buyer's remorse, because this was made on a sample of 9 games while a sample of 7 games was ignored. So, again, I would have probably done it. I don't think you have any other – like Sean Clifford threw, I think, 5 interceptions in mini camp or training camp the other day. So I don't think you had another option here. But, you know, understand that you are paying the absolute maximum that any quarterback has ever gotten – on the absolute least amount of games.
Feels like it.
I mean, there's never been somebody that's gotten this kind of money.
Literally just 20 games started, period.
Exactly. And really only 9 of them have been good. Mm. So, you know, good luck to Green Bay. I mean, I wish I had Jordan Love in Vegas, to be clear. I wish I had him, because I would be all about that. He'd be the GOAT as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, there is some downside risk to it.
Well, he would have already done more than Carr ever did, right?
Yes.
In one playoff game.
Yes, bro.
More than Carr ever did.
Yes. Yeah. Sad.
Even though it's unfair, Carr had 1 year he was going to do it.
He probably was. Yeah, they would have beaten the Texans with whoever the hell it was, Brock Osweiler. But, yeah, it was not to be. It was not to be. Jordan Love, Tua, got paid.
Next story.
John Morant inducted into the Murray State Hall of Fame on Saturday. It's Murray State's 42nd class. Ja obviously selected second overall by us in 2019, was at Murray State for 2 seasons, became first player in NCAA men's college basketball history to average at least 20 points and 10 assists a game. We know the 12th-seeded Racers upset 5th-seeded Marquette in the opening round of that tournament. Were we down that year at the casinos? Remember doing a
This was,
I think we were. I think that game was, I think one of Morant's games was on when we had a hookup with the casino, go down there and did a thing for the opening of the NCAA tournament or whatever with the show. I thought the show had something back then.
It was like a new opening or something.
Yeah, and I just remember people watching Ja that year in the tournament. And we had a deal with him back in the day. All that said, Morant was spectacular in the NCAA tournament.
Trying to hit the casino?
Had just the 9th. No, not at all. Okay. Just remembering those times. Had the 9th. Triple-double in men's NCAA tournament history with 17, 16, and 11 in that Marquette game. He also, and probably most importantly, acknowledged his mistakes and the off-the-court incidents involving social media, involving flashing a gun. I thought that was super important to do. It was good, too, to see Zach Kleiman and Taylor Jenkins understanding what this man represents and what he means to that franchise, making the trek with Ja, because we realize anything that's, you know, important to Ja needs to be important to the Grizzlies. So that was good to see. Thought the Murray State love from that side was also good to see. Got a fellow Memphian in Cam Payne, also known as Terry Johnson, was up there as well. Now, he's already been inducted into the Hall of Fame. Campaign, who's now with the Knicks, I want to say. Check that.
Terry Johnson? Yeah.
Because he might be in trouble with Tyler Kolek. With Tyler Kolek there, too. I didn't see Cam's
$3 million
contract.
One-year deal with
the
Knicks.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, with Tyler Kolek there, well, maybe they just put...
He's G League.
Did Tyler do it two-way?
Yeah.
Okay, then Cam's fine for the year, then.
I think he's...
One-year deal.
Although it might just be 1 year, because I like Tyler Kolek a lot. I'm just saying, in his time with the Knicks.
Well, with Cam, yeah.
Tyler Kolek was drafted 34th, but I'm assuming that he'll spend a lot of time in G League.
Maybe this first year.
Yeah.
What I'm telling you, eventually he's going to be Brunson's backup.
Yeah.
And Campaign is leaving a situation in Phoenix where, oh, by the way, looks like they've upgraded. I mean, Tyus Jones
Holy
an upgrade
mess.
Over Campaign, especially for what they
deal.
Got him on. For what they got him on, set that to the side. Isaiah Cannon and Campaign were both up there. Former Racers themselves were both up there to support Ja Morant's induction. He had his daughter up there. Obviously, the family was, too. Looked like everybody was happy. Remember Drew discussing Ja and sort of he saw from the camp. Remember Ja's camp that was at the Memphis Sports and Events Center? Drew discussing sort of just Ja, you know, the aura around him right now, the sort of happy state that he seems to be in. Again, that's easy to do in the off season, but we know, too, now Ja has been cleared medically Seems to have everything on the right page with the Grizzlies in terms of him in the front office and what he's got to do to stay on the court. And you're just hoping that this off-season sort of happiness that he seems to be rooted in now carries over into the regular season. Now, I haven't followed Ja on social media, just every tweet or every post everywhere, but it does seem to be, and I thought I've seen him talking about this, he's at a place of peace. Again, you need to see that carry over into the season with the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs. Hopefully he remains at peace and understands, man, it's a long, long season, and I got to be out there for the majority of it. So
yeah.
Good to see Murray State. This was a no-brainer. Obviously, he was going to go in, had a historic career there in the 2 years that he was there. Good to see him in that Hall of Fame now. And listen, he made one of his colorways the Murray State colors, and I'm imagining those Murray State teams are always going to be equipped with Ja Morant for as long as he's got a signature shoe deal with Nike. So Ja Morant, solid offseason. Cleared for a takeoff when it comes to medically now and officially a Murray State Hall of Famer.
Yeah, listen, I just can't wait. I can't wait to see that guy back on the basketball court. You know, I love that he's getting inducted. I'm tired of seeing him. You know, at basketball camps and behind podiums. You know, I'm ready to see him in a Grizz uniform dunking on people again.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, I do think that he is as you know, equipped as anybody to have a true takeoff year next season in the NBA.
Well, I'm kind of ready to stop saying that in a loud
game. I
mean, I realize time is that. I mean, we haven't, you know, just started. But I'm ready to stop saying, hey, we believe in Ja and holding him up and saying, don't forget about us and Ja Morant. And, hey, yeah, Halliburton, you guys have rolled off. Anthony Edwards fans, y'all have rolled off with him. You know, Ja's got to, the proof's got to be in the pudding now, too.
No, you're right. I mean, he's got to go deliver.
That's on Ja.
I mean, don't you believe he will?
Yes.
I think he will. I think, like, I trust his process. I trust the decisions that he's made around his life.
But he's not a perfect player. Like, there are things, too, on the basketball court that I would like to see him work on, including defensively, like taking that more seriously. There are some of these other guys in the league that there's been Anthony Edwards. There's been a flipped switch with him mentally that understands, and he can do it to a different degree than Ja can, obviously, with that body and everything else. But there's been a flip switch that understands I cannot be a minus on defense. For Anthony, it's been becoming a plus, maybe one of the best defenders in the league. But Ja's got to understand that, too. The three-point shooting. Like, those are things that really have to be, you know, the mid-range game, all that, the pull-up game to where you're not, you know, there has to be that, too. It can't just be, hey, when Ja's out there, he makes everybody better like he's this perfect player. He's got things to work on as well, just as much, as many things on the court as he does off. And so I would like to see him sort of attack those things,
right,
too. You know, the three-point shooting, the not being a liability defensively, where the whole team's got to be constructed a certain way because you are a minus there. He's got the ability to be a demon in the passing lanes.
Right.
Like to be a steals maven.
Yep.
Want to see some of that.
I agree with that. No, I think that's fair. You know, I'm not trying to say he's
If you want to be put up there with the elite of the elite, we're not just handing it to you. You know, we want the rest of the NBA to sort of hand it. That's what I hear when I hear you talking.
Well,
you want him to hand it to him right now. You're mad at Grant Hill because he's not on the Olympic team and everything else. Understand it. With what Ja's done, he wasn't going to be on the Olympic team.
I just think he will.
He's got things to prove.
I think he has to, and I think he will. That's just where I'm at with him.
Well, you represent him, too.
Well, yeah, I do. But so, I've never wavered. I don't think anybody – well, you know, you sort of have your disappointment with the decisions that he makes, obviously. But I've never wavered in the sense that, you know, he can't be, you know, whatever he wants to be in the NBA. Like, a lot of people around – not in Memphis necessarily, but around the NBA sort of conscientious are like, oh, well, you know, Ja will never be this. He lost it. He's, you know – I don't agree with that. I've never agreed with that. He'll be back next season. He'll be healthy.
He's going to remind the league.
And, yeah, he's going to be, once again, I mean, he's going to the Olympics in, what is it, L.A., 2028. He'll be on that team, no doubt in my mind. I mean, who else would it be? It ain't Halliburton, for sure. Goodbye, brother.
Oh, so, Halliburton can't get better in 4 years?
I mean, he ain't better than Ja right now.
Hey, Ja's still shooting 27% from three like he did last year, 4 years from now?
Well, I mean.
Because it's going to be hard to have him on there if you're doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really use 27.5, nine.
That was last year. His career's 31.8, 30, so 32% for his career. Last year was bad. It's just nine games. It's a small sample size. Point is, he's got to get that up.
Yeah, he does. But he's had a year and a half to perfect it.
You can't be a guard in this league with a percentage as bad as that with your usage rate that high from three.
Well, look, I know that Ja's itching to get on that basketball court and take this Grizz team back to the, you know, to the elite status of the NBA, and I think he'll do that, and I'm excited for it. So, especially with Edie now in the fold, you know, that just raises your ceiling up that much more.
The one. The one you always had eyes for.
Yeah, man.
There's been a little history rewritten. On Zach Edey.
Edey was the only one we ever cared about, dude.
Yeah, right.
He was. I mean, you want to believe some Jake Fisher reporting? His old sorry ass.
This man holds that one report to Jake Fisher, act like Woj wasn't out there saying the same thing.
I didn't see
Grizzlies
it.
Grizzlies are trying to move up.
He said it on the show.
He said it. It was reported that he said it.
It don't matter unless it was tweeted. Otherwise, fake report.
No, not when Woj says it. That counts.
I mean, I think that's been wiped from the record. It was always Zach Edey. You know what I'm saying? He was the one we focused on from the jump. We've had our eye on Zach Edey since the Grizz moved from Vancouver. We heard about this, you know what I'm saying, this up-and-coming young player in Canada. We've just sort of been watching the rise. So I thought everybody knew that. You know, you don't get smokescreened. Woj out here, false flag operation. Know what I mean? If they were going to trade in the six, dude, the Hornets selected Toodaloo Saloon. I mean, come on, bro. They could have got that dude back at 9. If they really wanted to trade, they could have made that trade happen.
That man, I'm just saying, he already got 2 ankle sprains and a spill that could have broke our back.
That is true. I mean, that's true.
And that's in less than 2 games. And y'all acting like this big 7'4 man's, I'm telling you, it's made out of stone.
It's a valid concern. It's a valid concern.
Remember, he's trying to play catch-up defensively a lot of times with that footwork and everything else, man. Those ankles will get caught up.
Well, he's going to have to pick his spots and learn how to do that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you have to be careful trying to play this pace, that big a man.
I also don't think he needs to leap like he did when he turned that second ankle turn he got.
That's what we're talking about, picking your spot.
Pick your spot.
That is not a spot. You don't need to do that with your height.
Exactly right.
Again, you're not going to be able to. So much riding on this season and on him in that position, he definitely has to pick those spots.
Well, I think
you're going to have a rookie that's trying to get to everything, trying to get on the floor.
He's
a team guy. And that to me is scary.
It is scary.
That's scary. That's how you lose a big 7'4" dude.
Because
he's going to be trying to prove it to everybody.
He dove
on the floor early in the first summer league game.
Yeah, I do.
And it's like, whoa. Yes. And if that is the only thing, and I realize Jay Huff's on it too, where you can play him up, it's a little scary to me.
Well, I think that's the underappreciated part about Wimby's game, right, is that he has an instinctual ability to know, like, yeah, he's going to challenge spots, he's going to have block
shots.
He didn't miss any time his first year for injury.
Sure.
And you kind of have to uncoach that.
A lot of people had those same concerns about Wimby, right? Yeah. He's so slight of build. How's he going to hold up? He held up fine.
And
I think part of that is probably that he's got a mental understanding because he's maybe going to be the greatest player that ever played the game, that, you know, I can't challenge every – he only had 3 or 4 blocks in the game against Brazil the other day, by the way, right? I'm sure he could have 10 if he really tried to go for 10, but he's like, I don't have to block 10 shots a game because I don't want to subject myself to injury, and I can impact the game without even blocking a shot. You know what I mean? There's other ways to do just me being here.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there's no 3-second violation in FIBA, which is absurd. Dude could just park it. He and Gobert could just park it. Nobody should ever score. But anyway, Ja Morant inducted into the Hall of Fame there at Murray State. Good stuff. We'll come back. Got Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock, and then Jason Fitzgerald will join us at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 Trying to FM, ESPN.
Hey.
Yeah, rate cuts are coming, ladies and gentlemen. They'll be here before you know it. And when that happens, might be a great time for you to buy a home. I contend it's a good time to buy a home regardless of the rates, but I understand that some people may have limitations there. Either way, interest rates should come down, making home buying that much more affordable. And when that time comes for you, reach out to our friends at Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency, because they're going to help you through the entire process. It can be tough. You have certain things you're looking for. You have a certain price range. They can find anything and everything that you're looking for. And if you're on the selling side, they can help you make the most money for your home. It's just that simple. Reach out. SoToLiveLoveMemphis.com.
Yep. 901-625-5200. John's right. They do a great job over at Live Love, Jennifer Carstensen, of making the tough simple. What can be tough. And I tell you what, my first home was tough. The whole situation. Frankly, not hiring Live Love from the get-go, so they could have told me, no, you don't want to buy there. No, you got a lot of other places you want to look. I just took the first deal offered and thought I was being real smart not hiring anybody. When I bought my home, left me in a world of trouble. So avoid all that. You know, make the right decisions from the get-go. You can do that with Jennifer Carstensen. Look, she's looking to help you guys with the questions. You all that aren't in homes right now, you renters. She wants to help because that's how you make Memphis a better place, by lowering rentership, rent going up, 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 increasing home ownership. That's her mission. No question about it. 901-625-5200. Get with Live Love. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
All right. So the United States women's basketball team will be in action later today in group play. I believe it's their first game in group play against Japan. So they're going for their eighth straight Olympic goal, as we all know. I mean, obviously, we know that the world has caught up. Maybe not even as much as we try to say it as to the men. It absolutely has not for the women. I don't think there's anybody that can remotely challenge them in this field at all. Although Japan is apparently, they did finish with the silver medal in Tokyo in 2020. So ESPN says Belgium, Japan, Australia, China, France, Canada, Spain are the main, contenders here. But China, until they get my girl Zhang Ziyu,
mm-hmm.
they're not really that much of a contender. It's right. Just the truth of the matter.
Well, apparently she's not good enough.
Well, she's 17, bro. You got to let it happen. Well, let the cake bake a little bit, brother.
17 and 7.
You know, you're trying to rush the process. You got to let it happen organically, man.
Okay.
2028 in L.A., she coming for your ass.
We got a 16-year-old out there in track, don't we? I'm just saying, if she was 17 any good, you'd think China would have her out there.
Interesting.
Go right ahead.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that. I don't know. You know, China has, like, those traditions, man, that they're not trying to, like, boot anybody off for a teenager or something. Again, I'm just spinning it here. That's my guess. I don't know that for a fact. But, again, United States will squash Japan at 2 o'clock later today in group play. It was interesting. Dawn Staley was with Mike Tirico. I guess this was after the U.S. game had concluded in Paris. And, of course, she's on the committee for the Olympic team on the women's side. And she was asked by Mike Tirico. And I appreciated the question, by the way, because it would have been very easy to not ask this question. But he asked her about Caitlin Clark and that decision. And basically asked her if she would change it in so many words. And again, full credit to Dawn Staley, who in so many words said she wasn't playing as well at the time mm-hmm. as she is today. And if this decision were made today, she would be actually in high consideration for the Olympics if they were repicking the team, for example. As she said, she would be under really high consideration if we had to do it all over again. As a committee member, you're charged with putting together the best team of players, the best talent. Caitlin's just a rookie in the WNBA, wasn't playing bad, but wasn't playing like she's playing now. If we had to do it all over again with the way she's playing, she would be in really high consideration of making the team because she's playing head and shoulders above a lot of people. She's shooting the ball extremely well. She's an elite passer. She's just got great basketball IQ, and she's a little more seasoned in the pro game than she was 2 months ago. And that's why I got to tell you, I love Dawn Staley. I love her. Because that's actually not an easy – it may seem obvious and it may seem easy, but it's not. Because she – first of all, she's not the final caller, right? So the idea that she even has to answer for this is a little silly to me. We don't know. Maybe she was in favor of Caitlin Clark. You know, we don't know, right? I mean, Cheryl Reeve ultimately probably has the final.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.